Hello and welcome to this week's message from Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
Hello, Valley Church. A very happy Christmas to you all. It's a shame that I cannot be joining you in person this year, but I am grateful for technology as it allows us to connect like this. I want to say a special thank you to your pastors, Ed and Michelle. I have known them since 2008, so you can do the maths. It's been some years, but I appreciate you, Ed and Michelle, your friendship, your support of my family, me, and my ministry. You are two of the finest leaders I know, and we, as a family, thank God for you. Church, they've also given me permission to be able to share with you my brand new book. Some of you may have seen it on social media. Some of you may even have a copy already, but it is called The Wrestle Is Worth It. And it is all about wrestling with God. And so perhaps this Christmas, you know, it's been a tough year and you want some hope. You want to be have that faith put back into your heart. Well, can I encourage you to grab a copy? You can get it off my website, lukebrendling.com, or jump on Amazon and type in Luke Brendling or The Wrestle Is Worth It. But I pray it will be a blessing to you. Anyway, I have a word on my heart and I believe it's going to encourage someone today. So let's pray and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that this is the day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I ask that as I speak, your word will penetrate people's hearts, that lives will be challenged and encouraged, that hearts will be renewed. Father, I don't know what this Christmas looks like for some people, but I pray today that as I speak, something will resonate in their heart. Lord, that this Christmas will be a good Christmas. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of my message is this. I have good news. I have good news. Well, what a year it's been. I don't think anyone could have predicted in January this year what these past 12 months were going to look like. It has been a difficult, challenging, and heartbreaking year for so many people. Lives have been turned upside down and inside out. Perhaps for you, it's been a real challenge. There has been trouble on the job. There has been uncertainty in your home. Perhaps you are tired physically, mentally, and emotionally. You can't take any more bad news. Across the globe, negative news has dominated our airways. And as much as I like to be informed with what is going on, so much of the content that fills our TV screens, our social media feeds, the front pages of our newspapers are so disheartening, so bleak, so hopeless. The longer you look at this news, the more it begins to weigh your spirit down. Now, it is beneficial to be kept up to date with what is going on outside of your bubble. But how you process this negative news is of tremendous significance. They say that bad company corrupts good character. Well, I say negative news discourages good people. But I am glad, I am very glad that you have tuned in to this broadcast today, because I want to share something with you that is going to lift your spirits as we focus on some very good news. News that can change your life. It was big news just over 2,000 years ago, and it is still big news today. It was news that shook the world then, has shaken it ever since, and will continue to shake this world for generations to come. It caused a king to stop what he was doing, shepherds to leave their flocks, and wise men to follow a star in the sky as they traveled for days. Oh, this was news that could not be missed, and it is the only reason why we celebrate Christmas today. I'm sure you've guessed it by now, but I am talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. And before we get into the birth itself, I want to draw your attention to the build-up of this birth and take a look at what preceded this history-defining day. So I hope that you're ready. This Christmas message is going to be a little different than any Christmas message you've heard before. Let's go. It says in the book of Luke, chapter 1, that we read about an angel of the Lord visiting two people with good news to share. However, both of these people received their news slightly differently. The first visit was to Zechariah, and he was a righteous man that served God as a priest. He was married to Elizabeth, but they had not been able to conceive and were now both old in age. One day, as Zechariah was carrying out his priestly duties, this angel appeared to him, informing him that he was going to have a son, him and his wife Elizabeth. But the angel said that his prayers had been heard and that they were going to have a son and call him John. Shocked by what he heard, he said, "But how? How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." But we go on to see in Luke 1, 57 and 58 that when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy and they shared her joy. The second person to receive a visit from the angel of the Lord was Mary. And again, Mary was shocked by this visitation as to what she was hearing. The angel told her that she would conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Unsure about how this could be possible, as she was a virgin, she boldly replied, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And it went on to say in Luke chapter 2, verse 6, that while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room available at the inn. Two similar stories, two different responses, but two incredible outcomes. Both received good news, which changed them and everyone connected to them forever. So today, I have good news that I want to share with you. News that will not only change your Christmas, but can change your life. Oh, I hope that you like to receive good news, because I know that I do. My first piece of good news is this. Number one, is that God hears your every prayer. God hears your every prayer. When the angel appeared to Zechariah, it said that he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to Zechariah in Luke 1:13, "Do not be afraid, your prayer has been heard." If you've got your Bibles, underline that. Your prayer has been heard. Now, that in itself is an encouragement to us all. God had heard his prayers. Now, reading the text, I get the impression that Zechariah had stopped asking God for a child. He had given up on getting an answer in this area, and that could have been for two reasons. One, he thought that God hadn't heard him. And I'm sure we can all agree to have prayed prayers that we didn't think that God had heard. I prayed that I'd be married by now and I'm still single. I prayed that this addiction would have been broken, but it still troubles me. I pray that my children would have met Jesus in a personal way, but I'm still waiting for that day. Perhaps you're like Dave Scholes and he has prayed for many years that he will beat me at FIFA on the PlayStation, but he is still waiting for that day to come to pass. There are many, sorry Dave, there are many prayers that we pray that appear to remain unanswered. But just because you haven't seen exactly what you desire doesn't mean that God hasn't heard you. And the text in Luke 1:13 proves that God hears your every prayer. In Jeremiah 29, verse 12, it says, "You will call upon me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you." 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask of anything according to his will, then he hears us." Psalm 56 verse 8 says that you have collected all of my tears in your bottle. This shows me that God has seen those painful prayers too. Those ones that keep you up all night. Those prayers that drive you to your knees. The ones that you utter faster than your lips can move. He knows every tear that you have cried, and he keeps track of them, studying your heartbreak so that he can heal, comfort you, and give you joy in a way that is unique to you. No prayer, big or small, escapes God's attention, and there is no doubt about that. That is why it is important that you devote yourself to prayer, to pray, pray, and pray some more. The second reason why he stopped praying is probably a reason familiar to us all, and the reason why many of us give up on certain prayers. And it was this, is that he didn't think that God could work a miracle anymore, that it was too late, or that perhaps, you know, it was too difficult for God to do. I heard a story about a German man called George. And as a young man, in his own words, he was a liar and a thief. By the time he was 16, he found himself in prison. While in prison, he decided to reflect on his life. And realizing he needed to change his ways, he made a decision that when he got out of prison, he was going to go to university and study. While at university, someone invited him to a Bible study where he had a personal encounter with Jesus. But here he was in school, with no money, little food, very little resource, and knowing he couldn't go back to his old ways of living, he decided to pray about it and ask God for help. Around 1 hour later, there was a knock on his door. It was his college professor with an American teacher. This American teacher was in Germany to study, but he couldn't speak the language and he needed someone to tutor him. So they asked if George would tutor the American teacher. Well, George said, "Look, I need a job and I'm not going to have time to do my studies and tutor him." But they said, "No, look, this is a job. And we're not only going to pay you the going rate, we're going to pay you above the going rate." So George was delighted. He thought, okay, well, this will cover some of my expenses, but not all of them. But before he even had time to think some more, the American teacher said, "I have three other people that also want you to tutor us and gonna pay you this very high rate." Well, he couldn't believe it. I mean, George, he was so blown away that all of his costs would be covered. And it was then in that moment that he realized how God had answered his prayer. It gave him a taste of what the power of prayer looks like. And this one episode would stay with him forever. Of course, I am talking about George Muller, a very famous evangelist from the 1800s. But from that moment onwards, he had a revelation of prayer, that what he asked, what he believed God for, would and could come to pass. But as his walk with God grew deeper, there was a burden on his life to care for orphans. He wanted every child that came to him, regardless of their poverty or their race, he believed that every child deserved to be educated and trained for a trade. Now, not entirely sure how he was going to do it, because this was such a big dream of his and such a heavy burden, he decided that he was going to pray about it. And he declared right from that day that God will provide. He prayed every day for many things and expected his prayers to be answered. And it is recorded now, during his lifetime, that Mullah cared for over 10,000 orphans. He never made any appeals. He never asked for money. He never did any fundraising events. Instead, he trusted in the word of God that God would provide his every need. And over the course of his life, he received £1.5 million in gifts. That is the equivalent today of £90 million. Wow. Friend, nothing is too hard for God. Whether the answer comes immediately or takes many years, God has heard your prayers. The answer may not come in the way, it may not come in a way you're least expecting. It might come in a different package. It may not come to pass for many years. Either way, it is never too late for God to answer your prayer, no matter what your external circumstances look like. So stay expectant. Don't lose hope. Consistent and persistent prayer will always bring about the greatest rewards. So I believe this Christmas that God is going to awaken your prayer life today, that he is going to reignite your faith, that he is going to increase that passion within to believe God for the impossible for your life. God has heard your prayers, and in his perfect time, the answer will come. My second piece of good news is that God is bigger than you believe. The Bible describes Zechariah and his wife as righteous in the sight of God. They observed God's command and decrees blamelessly. In other words, they were good, faithful, and godly people. The sort of people you want in your connect group. I mean, they love God. They knew God. They served God. They are the perfect Christians, if there was ever such a thing. So how is it that Zechariah, with all his knowledge and experience, could get his answer to the angel so wrong when the angel told him that he was going to have a child? In Luke 1:18, this was his response. How? How can I be sure of this? Hey, this is the star pupil, a leader, a man of example. For years he has believed God, and in this moment, the most defining moment of his life, he doubts the God who stands before him. You've got it wrong, God, he says. I'm too old. My wife is too old. Our chance of having children is gone. In other words, there was a disbelief in Zechariah that God could still perform a miracle, that the moment had gone, that he was past it. He knew that God was powerful, but even this miracle for God was probably a step too far. Oh, I wonder if you have ever had a thought or thoughts like that. You felt called to do something with your life. Maybe God has put a dream in your heart. Like Zechariah, you've prayed about it for many years, but it hasn't happened yet. And deep down, you don't even believe that it can actually happen. You say things like, well, God can't use me. I don't have that gift. I don't have the right people around me. I don't have enough money. I've made too many mistakes. I've blown my biggest opportunity. There is no way God can get me out of this. I am running out of time. Yes, I believe that there are many of us, many of you watching this, that would have wrestled with those sort of thoughts. But it is okay, You are not alone. Even Zechariah, the man God chose to be the father of John the Baptist, had those sort of thoughts. When the angel told him what was going to happen, the first thing Zechariah did was look at his situation with earthly eyes. Human logic kicked in, telling him that what was now before him was insurmountable. Years of disappointment had left him with little faith. So you can't be too hard on him. I'm sure many of us can all identify with that sort of struggle. When those desperate prayers remain unanswered, it can leave you feeling disconcerted. It is difficult to keep asking God for a particular breakthrough, yet heaven remains silent. It is disheartening when you see other people move forward in life and you find yourself stuck. It is onerous to retain a level of belief when there is a lack of physical evidence that you are progressing. But here is where you need to change your perspective. It's one of the main differences between Zechariah's story and Mary's story, the response. Zechariah's response was doubt-driven, whereas Mary's response was faith-filled. When she heard the news that she was going to have a child, yes, she acknowledged that she was a virgin, but she also then boldly confessed in Luke 1:38 that I am the Lord's servant and may your word to me be fulfilled. Wow. Wow. What a remarkable woman. No doubt, no hesitation, no further questions asked. Mary knew what God said looked unimaginable, but with him, nothing is impossible. Oh, how somebody needs to hear this word this Christmas. Perhaps you feel like you've missed your moment. You thought this past year was going to be the best year of your life, but it did not pan out the way you thought. God hasn't met or didn't meet your deadline, and therefore you have disregarded that miracle that you've been chasing him for so long altogether. Oh, friend, can I remind you again that when God calls you to do something, it doesn't always look to the natural eye that it can happen. And this is where your faith, your response, plays a huge part. You see, friend, faith is wholeheartedly believing first without seeing any of the physical evidence that it can or will happen. And as Hebrews 11:6 says, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So be inspired today. Be inspired by Mary's response. For whenever human logic and God's promises come face to face, God's word must remain superior. God's ways are higher than our ways. I know it looks insurmountable, but with God, all things are possible. I know that I'm too old to go after that dream, but God hasn't finished with me yet. I know people say I'm too young to start that, but with God, he will make a way. I know the doctor said I will never be well again, but with God, I can be healed. I know that in the natural, I am running out of time, but nothing is too hard for my God. Oh, Zechariah, he forgot who he was speaking to. And as a result of his unbelief, the angel struck his mouth and he could not speak until the birth of his child came to pass. Don't let that be you. Don't let your disbelief be the delay to God's plan on your life. I'll say that again. Don't let disbelief be the delay to God's plan on your life. Have some faith. Believe that this next year, 2021, is going to be the year where God does more miracles in and through your life than ever before. I believe it to be true. My third piece of good news, and I hope that this is encouraging you today, is this, is that God's plan will always come to pass. God's plan will always come to pass. Most of you will know some of my story in regards to the stillborn birth of our daughter, my first daughter, Elle, back in 2015. So I'm not going to go into it today. But not long after her death, God gave my wife a promise. A promise which at that moment in time looked impossible. During her quiet time, God impressed upon her heart a scripture in Isaiah 66, verse 12, in the New Living Translation. And it was this: her children will be nursed at her breasts, carried in her arms, and held on her lap. Sometime later, Lila was born, and we were delighted as the promise was in motion. Following the birth of Lila, we conceived twice again, both pregnancies ending in miscarriage, one at 9 weeks, the other at 12 weeks. We believed that God had given us a promise to have children, but perhaps he was going to do it in a different way. Lisa was now 40 years old, and having had four pregnancies, but three of them being unsuccessful, we didn't want to put her body through any more stress, so we laid it down. We laid it down. However, on the January the 1st, 2020, God gave me a word from Luke chapter 5, verses 37 and 38, which said, "And no one pours new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the new wine will burst the skins." And it goes on to say, no, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. My interpretation of that was that God was going to do a new thing in me, my family, and my ministry, something that was completely unattached to the old, that my year was going to look very different to any that I had had before. And later that day, this was the same day, we found out that we were pregnant again. And then it made sense. And then it made sense that this pregnancy was going to be different, that the outcome was going to be different. And in August 2020, God graced us with another daughter. Another daughter we called Lucille Faith. My wife was then 41 years old, nearly 42, but God blessed us with a wonderful child. Do you know, this time last year at Christmas, we had no idea that 12 months later, our family would be complete. Oh, friend, let me tell you that when God gives you a promise, then it must come to pass. He promised Zechariah and Elizabeth a child, and in Luke 1:57, John was born. He promised Mary and Joseph a child, and in Luke 2, verse 6 and 7, Jesus was born. John came to prepare the way. Jesus was the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The angel told Mary that Jesus would be the savior of the world and that his kingdom will reign forever. And those wise men bringing gifts to them on that day confirmed that, giving to Mary and Joseph gold to confirm his kingship and sovereignty over all the earth, frankincense as a symbol of his deity and divinity, and myrrh as a reminder of his death, that one day he would have to suffer for the sins of the world. Our friend, Jesus was God's redemption plan to a broken humanity. The Son of God lived, died on a cross, and rose again so that we could be forgiven of our sins, overcome our adversities, conquer sickness. He was and is the good news, the only remedy to our bad news. He was the fulfillment of prophecy given some 740 years before it actually came to pass by the prophet Isaiah, who said in Isaiah 7 verse 14 that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel. Oh, it is through his life and resurrection that God's plan was complete. Confirmation to all that no word from God will ever fail. It cannot fail. And so I don't know what your year has looked like. I don't know what this Christmas looks like for you. I don't know what breakthrough, what answer to prayer, what miracle you are waiting on God for. But I do know this: when God gives a promise, He does not break it. He promised that Jesus would come to earth in human form. He promised that Jesus would be the Savior of the world. He promised He would be the Prince of Peace. He promised to give us joy in the middle of our troubled times. He promised He would reign over death, darkness, and sin. He promised to give us hope when facing despair. He promised to love us even when you do not love yourself. He promised He will be with you to never leave you nor forsake you. He promised to give you His Holy Spirit to guide you. He promised to equip you with a power and an authority like no other. He promised to give you victory over every single circumstance that shows up in your life. Oh, are you going to believe His promises this Christmas? Elizabeth and Mary did. Yes, their two miracles were on the opposite ends of the spectrum. One was a virgin, one was beyond childbearing years. But both got pregnant when it wasn't supposed to happen. Both divine messages did not make sense in the natural, but both miracles came to pass. For my God is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, as Luke 1:37 says, and nothing is impossible for Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, whenever I have the opportunity to speak, I want to make sure I give you the opportunity to make your peace with God, to invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Asking Jesus into your heart is the greatest present, the greatest gift you can receive this Christmas. But with any gift, there needs to be a response. You need to reach out in faith and receive it. You need to accept Him. I've already shared what Jesus has done for you and I, that He died on a cross to save us, to pay the penalty for our sin. He took it to the grave, but 3 days later, He rose again, breaking the chains of sin, breaking the bonds of death, and making a way for you and I to be loved, accepted, and forgiven. We call it, or the Bible calls it, the gift of salvation. And today you can receive it. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. But if you reach out in faith and say yes to Him, then it will be yours. All the Bible asks you to do, all God asks us to do, is repent of our sins, which simply means turn towards Him. Turn towards Him. Give Him your life. Say sorry for all the bad things you've done. And I promise you, your life will never be the same again. So if I'm speaking to you and you'd say, yes, Luke, that's me. I want to pray this prayer. I want to ask Jesus to come alive in me. Then I'm going to say this simple prayer of faith, and I just want you to repeat it after me. Maybe you've never made this decision before, or perhaps once upon a time you had said yes to Him, but you know you're not living the life that Christ has called you to live. If you want to say yes to Jesus, then pray this prayer with me right now. Let's pray. Dear God, thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Today I ask You to come into my heart and to forgive me from my sins. Father, I turn towards You and I accept Your gift of grace. I ask that You would use me as a follower of Christ to make Your name known all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, let me be the first to congratulate you if you prayed that prayer today. I know someone's going to jump online in just after me and tell you what you are to do next. But let me say, it is the most incredible decision that you could ever make. What a wonderful Christmas present that is. But before I finish, let me just quickly pray for you. Perhaps what I've said today has really stirred something in you. So let me pray. Father, we thank you for the promises of your word. We thank you that you never break a promise. And so for those, God, that are struggling today, thinking that you haven't heard their prayers, Lord, I pray that you awaken their spirit today, that they will be reassured, that they will know that you have heard every single prayer, and that an answer, that help, that breakthrough is on the way. Lord, if it is disbelief that people are struggling with this Christmas, particularly after this very challenging year, I pray that you will stir up that gift of faith on their insides, that they will look to you and know that you are bigger than any problem that walks into their life. Lord, you are a powerful God. You are a good God with whom nothing is impossible. And so, Father, I want to declare healing. I want to declare testimonies, praise reports, and breakthrough miracles to be birthed in people's lives right now. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word this Christmas. And I pray that it will be a great Christmas for everyone listening to this today. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Valley Church. It was a joy to join you, and I hope to see you sometime next year. God bless and have a very happy Christmas.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.